Thank you very much. I'm very excited to be able to use this conference as the first public presentation of some results that we got out of what I think is a very interesting study of parents. Everybody here knows that the HPV vaccine was licensed in 2006, followed shortly thereafter by ACIP recommendations for universal vaccination of 11 to 26-year-old females. And it's expected that the high efficacy of this vaccine is going to have a significant impact on cervical cancer and on the frequency of abnormal pap smears. Now, as you know, parental views about HPV vaccines are really critical because vaccination of underage minors requires parental consent. So before we can really develop successful vaccination campaigns, we have to understand parental views about these vaccines. And one of the things that has struck me as I've seen this story about HPV kind of roll out is how much the media has played a really pivotal role in people's understanding about this vaccine and about the disease it can prevent. And one of the things I found particularly interesting is how much the media portrays the HPV vaccine as being controversial. And I often found myself wondering, well, is this really a controversial vaccine, or is this just the take that the media has glommed onto in order to sort of sell their stories? But one of the things we see in the media very frequently is the fact that the, quote, controversy surrounding this vaccine is going to affect parental attitudes and likelihood of wanting the vaccine. I'm sure that we've all seen media stories related to this, and there are a lot of different aspects of the controversy that media tends to focus on. I'm just going to touch on two briefly right now. The first is the whole issue of sexuality. So here's an example here from MSNBC where they say it's expected to be an uphill battle convincing parents to get yet another vaccine for their preteens, especially one that's connected to sex. In addition to sexuality, the role of religious or moral values has often been implicated as a huge barrier to parents for wanting this vaccine for their children. This is exemplified in this New York Times article that says the physical side effects of the vaccine are minor, but the immunization's implications for moral decisions, for religious convictions, will be major. So these are the types of stories that we all see in the media. But what do previous studies about parental attitudes actually tell us in a more scientific way? Well, there's now been a number of studies on parents' attitudes about this vaccine, and these studies all fairly agree that even amongst diverse populations of parents, there's a general support for HPV vaccination. In studies that have looked specifically at the role of the STD characteristic of HPV vaccines, what these studies have shown is that, in fact, efficacy and cost seem to be more influential factors than whether or not a vaccine is against an STD. There's been one study done in California that specifically addressed the role of religious preferences and how this might affect parental attitudes. And this study did show that there were certain religious preferences which were linked to either higher or lower acceptability of the vaccine. And this is certainly something that probably bears further research on, since it has been raised so frequently in the lay media. And finally, there's been a number of studies that have shown that parents seem to be more comfortable with the idea of vaccinating an older versus a younger adolescent. Now, one of the limitations of these previous studies is that they were all done before the HPV vaccine was available for use. So in some ways, their findings are somewhat hypothetical because they couldn't link these factors that they found as potentially influential to actual vaccine uptake. And in fact, there's been no published studies that have been done since the HPV vaccine was made available that has looked at parental attitudes about the vaccine. Furthermore, most of these studies use quantitative methods, which are very valuable for some answering some questions, but one of the limitations of quantitative methods is that they don't enable you to go in depth to capture kind of the whole range and complexity of factors that parents might use when making decisions about HPV vaccination for their daughters. So these limitations led us to our research question, which is really understanding what range of factors parents use in the decision to actually vaccinate their daughter against HPV. And we were particularly interested in the role that sexuality issues or religious and moral issues might have played in this decision. And another thing that I didn't provide an example for but has also been raised a lot in the lay media is the role of finances and insurance, which has also been posed as a potential major barrier to parents receiving these vaccines for their children. So in order to address this research question, we performed a survey of parents, and our study population was parents of 11 to 17-year-old female patients who had been seen in either the family medicine, pediatric, or gynecology outpatient clinics at the University of Michigan. And we focused on patients who were specifically seen for preventive care type visits, we felt that this was the type of visit where vaccination was most likely to have been discussed and offered. And our survey utilized clinic visits that occurred between February and March of 2007. So in our university health system at this time, we had pretty good vaccination coverage through private insurance, and also Medicaid had been covering the HPV vaccine for a number of months by this time. We used two recruitment strategies to identify parents for our study. For pediatric and family medicine clinics, we used the electronic medical record to identify patients who had come in for well child or health maintenance exams, and used demographic information to contact the parents to invite them into our study. For the gynecology patients, we had to use a different recruitment strategy because there was concern amongst the gynecology providers that using the electronic medical record and sending kind of a cold call letter through an unknown source might have been misconstrued by the adolescent patients as a breach of confidentiality. And also, in our outpatient gynecology clinics, many of the adolescents who were seen in these clinics were there for problem-related visits as opposed to kind of routine pap smear or preventive health care type visits. So in the gynecology clinics, we used provider identification of adolescent patients who are in specifically for a routine pap smear without an associated problem visit, and who also assented to have their parents contacted for introduction into the study. The study design used semi-structured telephone interviews, and we used open-ended questions to understand the reasons why parents did or did not get their daughters vaccinated against HPV. We had a specific prompt in our study about the role of insurance issues, but we did not prompt specifically about the role of religious values or sexuality, because we really wanted to see what rose to the surface when we asked parents about the main reasons why they made their decision. But we did definitely keep an eye out for those types of responses in our analysis. We collected demographic information and transcribed our interviews and used an approach called framework analysis to identify emerging themes from the data. So we recruited 56 parents into our study, and this number was chosen because it was around the time that we got to 55 or 56 parents where we really felt like we had saturated the themes of responses that were emerging from the data. We had 35 parents that had their daughters vaccinated and 21 parents whose daughters did not receive the vaccine. And you can see that the majority of our patients were seen in pediatric and family practice clinics, with just a couple of patients seen in the gynecology clinics. And this is primarily, we think, due to both the clinic population and the recruitment strategies that we had to use. In terms of participant demographics, you can see that there's essentially no difference in parental characteristics between those whose daughters did and did not receive the HPV vaccine. The vast majority of our respondents were mothers. We asked specifically to talk to the parent who had been with the daughter at the time that the visit occurred. And you can also see that this is a highly educated sample, so more than a third of our sample had a graduate degree, reflecting the university-based population. In terms of medical specialty, there was really essentially no differences between those whose daughters did or did not receive the vaccine in terms of where the type of clinic that their daughters were seen in. Most of our sample, as I mentioned earlier, was drawn from the pediatric clinic, with about a third coming from family medicine. So when we asked parents to identify and describe the reasons why they decided to have or not have their daughter vaccinated, 11 themes emerged from the parental responses, and these are listed here. And unfortunately, I'm not going to have time to go into all of these in depth, but I do want to focus on a couple of the key themes that emerge from the data. The first two I'm going to talk about are the perceived risk of illness and disease and vaccine safety issues. And I wanted to focus on these two first because these were themes that were commonly identified between both groups of parents, so those whose daughters did and those whose daughters did not receive the HPV vaccine. In terms of risk perception, risk was almost always discussed within the context of a daughter's sexuality or sexual experience. There are a few people who mention risk also in the context of, say, a family history of cancer or a personal history of cancer, but sexuality was uniformly mentioned when people were discussing risk. However, risk perceptions among the parents differed quite significantly by vaccination status, as you might imagine. So for vaccine-accepting parents, most of these parents perceive their daughters to be at high risk, either now or in the future. And one of the interesting things that came out is that the perceived risk was often somewhat disassociated from the parent's perception of the likelihood that their daughter was sexually active. So what I mean by this is that parents might have a very low perception of a low likelihood that their daughter was currently or going to be sexually active in the near future, but they still identify their daughters as being at high risk for acquiring HPV with the understanding that they will eventually become sexually active. And I think that this is exemplified in this quote from a vaccine accepting parent where she says, "Even though we try to practice that she's only going to have sex with her husband, I'm a little more realistic than that. There's no guarantee that he might not be a carrier." In contrast, vaccine-declining parents had a very different risk perception viewpoint. They linked risk perceptions frequently to their daughter's age. And I should mention that the mean age and the range of ages did not differ between those whose daughters did and did not get the vaccine. But in the vaccine-declining group, many parents felt that their daughter's current risk was very low, and they did seem to acknowledge that risk might increase as their daughter aged, but it didn't really seem to matter what age we were talking about. So a parent of a 17-year-old thought that their daughter was at low risk in the vaccine-declining group, as did a parent of an 11-year-old. And because of this lack of risk, this sense that there wasn't a lot of risk, this seemed to lead to a no sense of urgency that the vaccine should be given prior to the onset of sexual activity. And I think this is exemplified in this comment here, where a vaccine-declining parent says, "My daughter's 13 years old, and as far as she's concerned, she doesn't even like boys yet, and I don't want to inject her with something that she doesn't have to have at this point." There are also a few examples of risk and some miseducation. So this is a very illustrative comment from a vaccine-declining parent of a 16-year-old, where she says, "I believe the vaccine is supposed to be given before your daughter becomes sexually active, and she had already had sex, so that's why we didn't do the vaccine." So clearly there are opportunities for ongoing education here. Safety was the second area where parents from both vaccination groups frequently brought up this topic in terms of how they made their decision. But as again, the viewpoints differed substantially by vaccination status. So vaccine acceptors generally had a feeling that although they had significant safety concerns, the pros of vaccination outweighed any potential cons, and they were willing to take the risk that they perceived because they felt that the benefits were greater. Several parents also mentioned how they believed that the FDA licensure process helped to ensure and quell their concerns about safety. So this is an example of that, where a vaccine-accepting parent says, "I'm nervous because it's a new vaccine, and I'd hate to see in 10 years them come back and talk about devastating effects. I'm trusting that they've done enough testing and they've looked at this long enough and that it's not going to cause any damage." Among vaccine-declining parents, though, safety was generally linked to this issue of knowledge, which was one of the other 11 factors on the original list I showed you. Parents had two different viewpoints about knowledge. They often expressed that they felt that they themselves lacked enough personal knowledge to be able to make an informed decision about HPV vaccination. But there was also a lot of concerns expressed that the medical establishment more generally did not have sufficient knowledge to ensure that the vaccine was safe. So this is an example of that, where a vaccine-declining parent says, "I don't think there's enough information about the vaccine. I was going to take a year or possibly two as a wait-and-see approach to see what other studies come about." Now, for parents in favor of vaccination, in addition to issues related to safety and perceived risk of illness, there was three other themes that were very commonly identified. The first was a desire to protect their children or prevent illness in their children, and this was both HPV specific and several parents who just believed in the general benefit and protective properties of vaccination in general. Many parents related personal experience of either themselves or of a loved one as being influential in their decision. And physician recommendation was another commonly mentioned factor. And this latter factor was actually particularly important amongst parents who were kind of on the fence initially. A lot of parents who seemed that they had not yet made up their mind indicated that their doctor's strong recommendation for vaccination swayed them towards wanting the vaccine. For vaccine-declining parents, the other two areas that came up very frequently were, as I mentioned, issues related to lack of knowledge and issues related to a patient's their daughter's age. And both knowledge and age did seem to be factors that could be potentially modified, as many parents seemed to indicate that they weren't necessarily against all HPV vaccination, just that they had lacked enough knowledge and that their daughter might be too young. I want to touch just briefly on religious values, as this was one of the initial things we hypothesized might be quite important in this decision. And in fact, out of our 56 parents, we only had one person who even mentioned religious values as an important issue in their decision. And this was actually mentioned in the wrap-up comments at the end of the whole survey, where we just asked, you know, is there anything else you'd like to add? And this parent said, well, I think people's religious beliefs play a large role in the decision. I know my beliefs did. But in fact, this particular parent, when we asked her earlier in this interview why she decided not to get her daughter vaccinated, her answer was, I think it's too new and there's not enough studies out there. So even among this one parent, it wasn't clear how much of a role religion was actually playing. It could be that she just wasn't comfortable talking about this topic, but we definitely did not see that religion was a major factor, at least in our study sample. Finally, I just want to touch on the role of finances and insurance, and we asked parents specifically whether or not this played a role in their decision. What we found was for the vaccine-accepting parents, about half of them indicated that insurance coverage did influence their decision, and there was a range of sentiments about this. So some people felt, well, it was beneficial, though not critical, whereas others said this was really a deciding factor. Many people talked about how their daughter was going to age out of HPV vaccination in the near future, so they really wanted to get it done now. But equally as impressive, there was about half of the participants who said insurance issues were completely irrelevant. They would have paid out of pocket to get the vaccine to their daughter because vaccination is just the right thing to do. And there were several parents in this latter group who were not the well-to-do parents. I mean, people were talking about dipping into savings accounts, taking on second jobs, et cetera, willing to undergo significant financial hardship to be able to deliver this vaccine. Among those who did not get their daughters vaccinated, only 3 out of 21 parents indicated that insurance coverage had influenced their decision. And all 3 of these parents were currently actively investigating insurance coverage for the vaccine at the time of the survey. So these were parents who were generally supportive of vaccination, for whom lack of insurance coverage confirmation was really the main deciding factor why they didn't get their daughter vaccinated at her visit. So in conclusion, for vaccine-accepting parents, a desire for protection, personal experience, and physician recommendation were highly influential. These parents tended to see their daughters at substantial risk of HPV, even when they perceived that their daughter had a low likelihood of sexual activity. And parents in this group had significant safety concerns, but these were tempered by a trust in the medical establishment and the drug approval process. In contrast, vaccine-declining parents had issues related to age and lack of knowledge about HPV as highly influential factors, and these parents did not see their daughters at substantial risk of HPV, primarily because they perceived it was unlikely that they were currently or in the future going to be sexually active. And this led to a lack of urgency about the need for the vaccine before becoming sexually active. For this group, safety concerns were a very major barrier, but it's important to note that declining vaccination in this group seemed to, for the most part, be temporary, as many parents indicated that the vaccine might be more palatable when their daughter was either older or when more safety data became available. Furthermore, we didn't find in our sample that religious values had a major role in the decision-making process. Neither did insurance or finance issues, because those who wanted the vaccine indicated they generally would have gotten it anyways, and those who did not want the vaccine did so for other reasons. The limitations of this study is that we focused specifically on preventive care visits, so parents who had their daughter in for an illness visit, particularly reproductive-related problem visits, might have had very different perceptions, and there was lack of diversity with respect to several demographic factors among our parents, and also this was a highly educated sample. So I'd like to thank my collaborators, and I'm looking forward to your comments. Thanks.
Thank you, Dr. Dempsey, and I'd like to thank the entire panel for interesting presentations and for sharing your research. For those of you that are still left, if you have questions or comments, if you just come to the mic and direct your questions to the presenter.
I didn't catch whether you had different ethnic or cultural groups.
We didn't actually collect racial data, but based on the clinics that the patients were drawn from, it's a predominantly white group, but there are a range of economic backgrounds.
Okay.
So, yeah.
I have a question and a comment for Amanda. I'm Carrie Stapsis from CDC. I coordinate the preteen campaign. And I had some qualitative research findings that kind of contradicted something you said, so I was curious and wanted clarification. You said that the people in your sample said that they trusted, quote, the FDA approval process. I was wondering if your adding of the term FDA was just your interpretation, or did they specifically say the FDA approval process, or rather just kind of the medical approval process?
Yeah, I would have to go back and look specifically, but my recollection is that there wasn't anyone who... There may have been one person who mentioned FDA, but the general sense was just sort of the drug approval process. So I'd have to go look and see if anybody did. I mean, a lot of the people that were involved in the survey were pretty knowledgeable, you know, researchers and a few physicians and teachers. So it wouldn't surprise me if someone actually did say the FDA, but I'd have to go back and look for sure.
And were they did you have them actually evaluate written materials?
No.
No, you just asked them questions. Okay.
Yeah, we just asked several, like we had 5 or 6 open-ended questions and just kind of saw what came out.
Reason being, we tested materials where we actually about HPV vaccine, where we actually had statements that said, you know, the FDA has tested this and has mm-hmm. found it to be safe and effective, and we actually found that statement tested horribly. That frankly, many people distrusted FDA.
Right.
They brought up things like breast implant recalls and recalls of other medications, and that statements that said things like doctors recommend or the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention recommend.
Yeah.
I'm not trying to tout my own agency. It was a very surprising finding for me. I had never previously tested materials that used any reference to FDA in them. And so I had no idea that it was going to test like that, and that it actually brought up a lot more negative things. So you're the first person who's ever mentioned to me specifically something about FDA, so I was curious about what you had actually found.
We did have a couple parents, I think it was one or two in the vaccine declining group, who mentioned the fact that they didn't like sort of what you're alluding to, that because it was a, quote, recommended vaccine, that they didn't, you know, they therefore distrusted it more, or, you know, this was also going on in light of a lot of sort of FDA-related controversies that were in the news at the time, so we did see some of the similar sentiments coming through in our vaccination group. I didn't present it because it wasn't a major thing that people mentioned frequently, but it did come out in our survey as well.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Nitty Jane from the CDC. This is for Dr. Dempsey again. With the declining parents, did you ask them if they have any plans to have their daughters vaccinated in the near future?
We did. I didn't have time to go into that, but we had asked a question about specifically among the parents that didn't want the vaccine for their children. We said, well, what if your daughter was a different age, either younger or older? Would you want them to be vaccinated then? And most of them indicated that they would consider it when they were older. A couple said that they would have considered it more if their daughters had been younger. So these didn't seem to be parents that were generally against vaccines. I also didn't present data on that, but we did ask them had they declined other vaccines for their child, and we didn't have anyone who was a, you know, flat out, I don't want any vaccines for my child. I mean, I'm sure they're in our community, but they just didn't respond to our invitation to the study.
Hi, this question is for Allison. My name is Barry Decker. I'm from Pennsylvania, Medicaid program, actually, so a little bit different. The question I have is, you were presenting information on the adolescent attitudes in regards to being able to give consent. What I'm curious is, with the parents, was there any ability to look at ranges as the child became older, did the parent become more comfortable in giving consent?
That's a good point. The way, if I recall it, the way the question was worded in that section, it was asked about their youngest adolescent, but we could go back and try to like I said, we can match pairs, just not match their attitudes because of the scales. But you're right, it would be interesting to go back and look at how old their youngest adolescent was, who they were answering that question about, and divide them into groups. That's a good point.
Yeah, because I was curious to see if any of the parents' attitudes changed as, obviously, as their child got
older. The kids did. No, that's a good point. Thanks.